This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We could get some clarity today on a long-running trade fight.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. The World Trade Organization is set to rule on a complaint against American aircraft maker Boeing. The charge? That the U.S. government is illegally subsidizing the company and placing its rival, Europe's Airbus, at an unfair disadvantage. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from our London bureau with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So this complaint has been going on now for, what, 6 years? Why has it been dragging?
Yeah. It's very complex. You've got two major companies, and each has complained that the other is getting unfair state aid. Now, the WTO ruled earlier this year against Airbus. It agreed that Airbus had benefited from low interest rate loans from European governments. Today, the Europeans have their day in court. The WTO rules on the EU case against Boeing.
And do we have any indication, Stephen, as to how the WTO is going to rule?
Well, we won't know for sure until later today, but observers say the WTO is likely to rule that Boeing also received unfair aid in the shape of more than $20 billion in Department of Defense and NASA research subsidies. If correct, this means both sides have lost. Laurie Price, aviation analyst with consulting firm Mott MacDonald, says it's time for both the US and the EU to accept that in this business, some state aid is necessary.
This is an inevitable part of the levels of investment that are required to develop large-scale transport aircraft in the 21st century.
He says that aid should, of course, be open and above board and restricted to similar levels on both sides of the pond.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
The Bank of Japan today took a big step to help the Japanese economy. It intentionally weakened the currency for the first time in 6 years, selling yen and buying dollars. And the Japanese shares had a field day with that move. The Nikkei added about 2.5%. Unfortunately, other world stocks are mixed at the moment. Wall Street yesterday, markets settled close to where they started. The Dow was off about 0.2%, 17 points to end the day at 10,562. New study says being fat and out of shape isn't just bad for your heart and for medical bills. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has that.
With more than two-thirds of Americans tipping the scales as overweight or obese, the economic impact spreads well beyond medical costs. Worker productivity is also suffering, says Ross Hammond of the Brookings Institution.
Absenteeism and disability in the workforce, those could add up to as high as $66 billion a year.
There are environmental costs as well.
Much higher levels of fuel use for transporting heavier passengers, both on airlines and passenger vehicles.
And more greenhouse gases because the humans are bigger and we transport more food to feed them. They also generate more organic waste, but let's not go there first thing in the morning. There are solutions out there, says Matt Lerner of WalkScore, which ranks cities based on how easily you can get around.
People who live in walkable neighborhoods, on average, weigh 7 pounds less
than folks in neighborhoods where you have to drive to stock up on more chips and guacamole. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. And by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market.
Shareholders for United and Continental Airlines meet this Friday, likely to approve their merger. If that happens, all those planes will get a redesign, and the old United U-shaped blue and red tulip logo will go away forever. The decision to get rid of that logo sparked an online protest among thousands of flyers loyal to United. which got reporter Sally Herships thinking about why some people can get so attached to a brand.
Some people want to save the trees, other people whales. For Jerry Benzel, it's the United logo. Benzel is 30. He's a PhD student in poli-sci in Laguna Beach, California. He's also very unhappy. United is planning to put Continental's globe-shaped logo on its planes after their merger. So he joined a group on Facebook, Save the United Tulip.
It's sort of like someone you know getting a face transplant.
Creepy. Except a logo isn't a person. It's a corporate symbol.
But, you know, symbols have always been important. Nations have flags, religious symbols. What makes sense in this age where corporations, you know, have such a big presence in our lives that the symbol for that corporation begins to mean something.
And Benzel says it does mean something to him. He feels proud to be a customer. The airline is one of the country's oldest.
You know, I'm almost embarrassed to say, but it's almost like these warm, tingly emotions.
People get emotionally attached to brands. But why? To find out, I asked Tim Calkins. He teaches marketing at the Kellogg School of Management.
It's not just about a product. It's about a brand that has a role in my life and the associations around it.
Like the orange juice you had on your first day of school or the airline you flew on your honeymoon. If you pair a brand with an experience, even everyday products can take on a lot of meaning. But when consumers care, brands have to be careful. Calkins told me about one misstep when department store Macy's was buying up lots of small regional chains.
And in many markets, when they changed the branding to Macy's, the change was fine.
Macy's would gradually fade out the old name, while their own name slowly got bigger, until the retailer got to Chicago and the Windy City's beloved Marshall Fields. In September 2006, Macy's changed the signs overnight.
And even now, there's groups in Chicago that continue to protest that change.
Calkin says there's a lesson here for United and other brands. Take it slow or run the risk of turning off loyal customers. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, the people who make the sweetener high fructose corn syrup would love to change their brand, so much so that they're asking the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to allow them to change the name of the ingredient to corn sugar. The makers say the old name has become negative from years of misinformation, that it's a bigger cause of obesity than regular cane sugar. It's not the first time food makers have sought some naming help. Dried plums used to be called prunes, remember? And 30 years ago, that bottle of canola oil was called low erucic acid rapeseed oil. Now, that stuff used to just fly off the shelves. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.